Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and today actress and singer Jen Lilly will join me to discuss how a new song she recorded has literally helped save the life of a child. We'll also be chatting about Jen's experiences as a foster mom, as well as her Hallmark Channel Christmas movie, Mingle All the Way. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and today I'm happy to welcome actress and singer Jen Lilly back to the show. When Jen and I spoke last year, she talked about her acting career on shows like Days of Our Lives, her experience of being a foster parent to a young son, and the ways that her Christian faith motivates her to support charities that focus on helping children. Since then, Jen has been working on an album with a retro 60s sound, and she's released a debut single, King of Hearts, with proceeds going to help save the life of a child. Before we talk about that, I want to share a clip of Jen's song. Here she is with King of Hearts. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and we just heard a clip of Jen Lilly's song, King of Hearts, and I am pleased to welcome Jen back to the show now. Jen, it's so great to have you on the show again.
I'm so happy to be back. It's so nice to hear your voices, and we're going to have so much fun today.
Absolutely. Well, when you were on the show last year, we were talking about your acting career with Days of Our Lives and General Hospital and Hallmark, but I know that making music has been another goal of yours for a while. How did this song, King of Hearts, and also your upcoming album with this retro 60s sound, how did that come to be?
Oh, my goodness. All right, let me try to keep it brief, which is not my forte. So I started singing when I was 9, and don't worry, I'm not going to go till I was 9, but okay. I started singing when I was 9, and, you know, I always wanted to be a singer when I was little, but I just wasn't confident singing in front of people, you know, unless it was worship or something. Like, I helped lead worship at my church for years, and so that was comfortable for me, because when you're leading worship, you know, the attention's on God, the attention's not on the singer, or at least it shouldn't be, mm-hmm. but in any other capacity of singing, you know, the attention is on the singer. And so I have stage fright. So I just really put that on the back burner for a while, and then pursued acting because I'm not afraid of the camera. And then, gosh, about 4 years ago now, I decided to do a single of Baby It's Cold Outside with my TV husband, Eric Martzoff, who is a gem of a gem of a human. When we were recording that, I ended up getting lined up for that one with two-time Grammy winner, Grammy-winning producer Rob Christie. He ended up getting Greg Field and Chuck Berghofer on Baby It's Cold Outside. And Greg Field and Chuck are the bassist. Drummer is Greg is the drummer, and Chuck is the bassist for Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra, who wow. are my absolute inspiration. So I just ended up staying in touch with them. And then the following year after that, because the single did really well, I did a Christmas album. Again, you know, I put forth my best effort, but it was like we threw it together in 2 weeks. Again, Rob rounded up Greg and Chuck. They were on board. And then he also secured for that album Tom Rainier, who is Barbara Streisand's touring music pianist. Mm-hmm. And just, I mean, like, incredible. Like, to be in the room with these musicians was out of control amazing. That album, and it's called Tinsel Time, ended up going to number one on Amazon. So after that, I was like, huh, like, that's
maybe
really
there's something there.
And I kind of thought, I wonder, like, if I could do this singing thing. 3 months later, I met this woman at a charity gala who was like, you need to meet Adrian Gervitz, who is a world-renowned writer, producer, composer, and singer. And he, at that time, had just launched, this is 2016, he had just started to launch Andra Day, who is now one of our, you know, top performers in the United States. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to work with me. And so, long story short, I was like, well, that's, you know, an intense, crazy opportunity. So we started writing the album together a little over two and a half years ago. And so it's been a really long journey. Adrian is old school and I appreciate it. So he did not let me auto-tune a single note. He was like, if you're going to sing this, like, you're going to learn how to sing.
Wow.
And when I came in the studio, he was like, you know, you're kind of like a beautiful motorcycle and you're this little wavy girl who has, you know, like your voice is like a beautiful motorcycle and you get on the motorcycle and you're like, okay, I can do this. And you start the engine and then you just like spin out of control. And he was like, but I'm going to teach you how to ride like your voice. Like you're going to learn how to wrangle it, but you have to do everything I say. And I was like, okay. So it was like, you know, I call him boss, like affectionately, like Hilary Swank calls Clint Eastwood in Million Dollar Baby. Uh-huh. Because, I mean, I would literally just be in the studio and he has a home studio, which is a lot of people do. That's not sketchy at all. And it's amazing. And and so we weren't running studio time. You know, Adrian was just like beating the bejesus out of my vocals and being like, you can do this. And I'm like, I cannot do this. I cannot hit that note. Like, it's not possible. And he's like, yes, it is. It's possible. And so we would go back and forth and I'd be like, why don't I just like kick you where it counts and you do the note and, you know, we'll put some sort of effect on it and we can say it's me. So, you know, he's like, this is not going to happen. You can hit that note. I can hear that you can hit the note. So it took a long time, but because the journey took so long, I now feel really confident as a singer, you know, and now I'm listening to the radio and I'm like, oh shoot, like I could do this. So it's been great. It's been 2.5 years and I launched King of Hearts as the debut single, and then the rest of the album should come out in February, and we'll probably release a single or two before that.
Wow. No, it's a great sound. It's a great album. You sound, it's a great song, I should say. You sound great on it. And I'm talking to Jen Lilly about her debut single, King of Hearts. You can find out more about it at jenlillymusic.com, and that's L-I-L-L-E-Y, jenlillymusic.com. And like many things that the multi-talented Jen does, there's always a charity focus. And I know that you've, you know, you donated the profits from the song King of Hearts, went to a project called Project Orphans, and it specifically, your song helped save the life of a young boy who needs heart surgery. Tell us about that whole thing.
That's totally crazy. And again, the Lord, because I cannot like really take credit for that, but yes, I wanted there to be a charity aspect to the debut single launch. And so, months ago I had met Brittany Ray Stokes, who is the founder of Project Orphans. And, we just like instantly hit it off. And, you know, she has this incredible village in Uganda called Project Orphans. It's called the Pearl Village. Mm-hmm. And she's basically doing what Heidi Baker is doing. And Heidi Baker is a mentor for her. If anyone who knows Heidi Baker, I think she's in Mozambique, but she has this amazing children's village for all these orphans and children who are also in foster care over there. And she's working with their, you know, very corrupt government and like navigating it with such class and ease and really, you know, untangling a lot of the issues that they have in Uganda. And so I met Brittany and I was like, you know, what you're doing is what I want to do in the United States. I believe it's possible. And she was like, that's crazy. I want to do it in the United States too. And I was like, okay, great. Well, while we're waiting for, you know, figuring out all the laws and intricacies and red tape over here in the States, let me know how I can partner with you, you know, for Project Orphans. Mm-hmm. And so then when I was doing King of Hearts and I was coming up with the launch plan, I was like, obviously I want to partner with a charity. So I texted Brittany and I said, you know, give me your laundry list of like your wildest dreams, like your most expensive, out of control, like God-sized dreams, all the way down to like paper clips. Like I need to know like what you need over above and beyond. Mm-hmm. So she sends in this laundry list. And at first, I really wanted to help cover their monthly operating costs because that helps 72 children and 300 families. And, like, I'm all about, like, you know, making the biggest impact for your buck. But I saw that this boy named John needed heart surgery, and it was $6,500. And, you know, if anyone knows anything about heart surgery in the United States, that's generally going to cost, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah. And so I thought, wow, for $6,500, which is a lot of money, but like it's not to save a life. Like I was like, I believe that my fans and I can do that. I mean, you know, we raised that kind of money with my Christmas album. Like, why not? Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to believe that we can do that. So I said, great, we're going to get John a heart and we're going to call him the King of Hearts. Because I just thought like, what a convenient, you know, mm-hmm. like God thing that, you know, the title of my song kind of corresponds to that.
Sure.
And so, yeah, it was great. So we did 100% of the initial net proceeds. So like it wasn't like the cost of the album and stuff wasn't deducted. It's just the, you know, obviously shipping and like the cost of the exact merchandise, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
but everything else, like all the other proceeds, we donated toward that. And then we did an awareness campaign called the King of Hearts Challenge, which is like a dance challenge. And so through the initial sales and then some donors coming forward, we were able to raise the money for John's heart surgery, which is incredible. And then also we've been able to also cover their monthly operating costs, help cover.
Mm-hmm.
So that means like they have other donors that partner with them each month.
Yeah.
But they had a deficit of $600 a month until mm-hmm. March, because March is their big fundraiser. So I was like, we can cover that, which is $3,600. So we raised the money for John, and we raised the money for their monthly operations through March. And so now, you know, I'm still doing direct donations on my website, still donating, you know, the net proceeds to their organization. We have accomplished the first two goals, so that's fantastic. And my overall goal, which is a long-term goal, is to start my own charity here in the States in order to have a village like that. I don't know exactly what it'll look like. I'm still talking to doctors and psychologists to figure out, mm-hmm. you know, what's best for children. So it's not an orphanage, but my idea is maybe have like a subdivision of foster homes that are foster to adopt. So it's a bunch of amazing parents that are in it for the right reasons,
mm-hmm.
That are going to just commit to loving these children. And then if the children become eligible for adoption or are already eligible for adoption, they'll be placed in a home where they can find that permanency and they're not just aging out of the system. So that's a long-term goal, but yeah, I always want my music to do something charitable, because I just think that that's, you know, what life is about.
I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'll be back in a minute with more of my conversation with Jen Lilly. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
The most difficult trials in life demand that we dig deep within ourselves to find the capacity for courage that God has bestowed upon the human soul. But courage begins with an act of the will. The will to persevere through pain, suffering, and even failure. To help you along that path, the Christophers have prepared a news note called Finding the Courage Within. It offers insights on building character, cultivating the ability to act courageously, and making sacrifices for the greater good. To request your free copy of Finding the Courage Within, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and I'm talking today with actress and singer Jen Lilly about her song, King of Hearts, the way the proceeds helped save the life of a child, how the experience of foster parenting has changed Jen, and why she was drawn to starring in the Hallmark Channel Christmas movie, Mingle All the Way. You know, you were talking about foster parenting, and when you were on last year, you talked about your involvement with Child Help USA, and I know that from Instagram that you're now in the process of adopting the child that you've been fostering for over 2 years, and you wrote there that the foster care journey has had its tears and trials, but that your son has been a divine gift that has transformed you. Tell us about the highs and lows, and how did it transform you, having this child in your life?
Oh, my gosh. Well, before I forget, because it will help paint like a very accurate picture for people, there's a movie coming out called Instant Family,
mm-hmm.
and I am not in it, but I could not, like, I could cry talking about how much I support this movie. So it's a comedy. It's got Mark Wahlberg, Octavia Spencer, and Rose Byrne. I suggest everyone that is within earshot and then some, like, go see this movie. It's about foster care, but it's a comedy. So it's really well done. I got to go to a private screening at Paramount, so I've seen it already. And I could not stress enough like that it is really a family uplifting film. It's funny. It's emotional in all the right ways. And it's the most accurate picture of foster care that I've ever seen. And I think it's really going to change the face of foster care. So I will say go see that. And then to further explain that, yeah, my son, we got him when he was 4.5 months old. We're still in the very long process of adopting him.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, we're going to be adopting him. We're just waiting on the paperwork. So it's just a matter of, you know, Sacramento, like sending down the paperwork to dot the I's and cross the T's, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So my heart is very much at peace. But yeah, when he came into our lives, it was funny. You know, I had wanted, I kind of specifically requested an elementary school age child. Mm-hmm. And because I figured they can understand, I can help really dismantle a lot of the lies that the children have been told, you know, I can partner with them and help them, you know, with their homework and catch them up on their schooling. And like, I just want elementary school age. They're already potty trained. Like, there's a lot of benefits, you know, to having an elementary school age child. And while I hope it's evident that I just absolutely love people, like, I just love people so much because Jesus loved me and he loves people. And I just love, love, love people with such genuine love. I do have to say that, you know, 0 to 12 months is my least favorite age. So my husband and I were hoping to get this 8-year-old girl that we've mentored for 4 years, and that didn't go through, and I was really heartbroken and frustrated over it, and, you know, still don't fully understand, but that's not up to me. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to adopt her, and we wanted to adopt her and still in touch with her, but that just did not go through. And then we got the call for our son, and he was 4.5 months, special needs, like all these things were going on with him. And I had originally, when I got the call, I had said no. I said, no, you know, I can't do that. I was actually going out of town, and I just was like, I can't actually take that baby. And so then they called back, and they said, you know, we found a family that could take him for the 2 days you're out of town. Could we drop him off mm-hmm. on your way back in town? And I was like, yeah, like, okay. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was going to be like 3 to 6 months, you know, and mm-hmm. I was just like, fine, that's fine. And they always say that, like, let me back it up to say that they always tell you in foster care that there's no pressure to say yes to a certain child.
Okay.
Because there are hundreds of thousands of children in mm-hmm. foster care that need you to say yes. So if you say no to one, you're really just saying yes to another. So I'm like, you know, just call me on Saturday when I'm back. I'll take the next kid that you call me about.
Okay.
So anyway, God's divine appointment, you know, they call back. We found this family, which is very atypical, that can just take him for 2 days. Will you take him? So we're like, yeah, sure, okay. And that process ever since has been the most rewarding and emotionally stretching and spiritually stretching journey of my life. I would do it again 100 times over mm-hmm. and hope to, you know, I hope to foster till I die. But yeah, I'm very much a control freak, and he has caused me to not be a control freak because in foster care, you don't have a say over the child's future. The only thing that you have a say in is how much you can pour into that child while they're in your home. So
okay.
It's been great.
Yeah. So God knew what you needed better than you knew what you needed, I guess.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
I'm talking to Jen Lilly. We're talking about her involvement with Child Help USA, and she's a foster parent. She's currently adopting. And I also want to touch on, because you have so much going on in your life, you have a new Hallmark Channel Christmas movie airing, Mingle All the Way, and you're not only the star. I read you helped get the movie made. So what drew you to the role? What's the story about?
So what drew me to the role was just how highly intelligent and cute the script was. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a sucker for rom-coms. Meg Ryan is one of the people who made me want to pursue acting.
Okay.
And the movie had all the elements that I think, a Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks classic rom-com needed. Mm-hmm. You know, I could very much see both of them saying yes to this movie. Back in their heyday. So that drew me to the script immediately, which is, I thought it was intelligent. It's a little outside the box. You know, it's a modern script. So mm-hmm. my character, Molly Hoffman, is an app developer, and she is a working lady, you know, much like myself. And she just developed an app for all those awkward parties that we get invited to, around the holidays, where they're like, hey, you know, and bring a plus one, you know, mm-hmm. and you're like,
yeah.
Like, I don't want to bring a plus one. Like, that's actually kind of awkward. And like, mm-hmm. how do I navigate this when I'm not looking for a relationship? So my character, Molly, creates an app called Mingle All the Way, which is a platonic plus one networking thing where you can be partnered with a like-minded business person who also needs a plus one. So you can just, you know, go to each other's holiday parties, like, have fun. You match personality wise, but you're not looking for anything. And of course, the two start falling for each other.
Of course.
As you can expect. Yeah. So I just thought it was really smart for script, and yeah.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a fun Hallmark movie, and I know it premieres December 1st, but I'm sure it's going to be re-airing all through the month of December for Hallmark's Countdown to Christmas. And just staying on the topic of Christmas a minute, I'm curious, did having a child in the house, did it change your experience of Christmas at all?
Oh, absolutely. Having a child in your house helps exchange, you know, it helps change every single holiday, because I think we all remember as children, time just takes forever, right? I mean, if Christmas was in a week, you were basically dying on the inside, you know, like it's never going to get here. Mm-hmm. And as an adult, if you're just childless and working like I like to do, you know, a week is, you never have enough time. Like you need 30 hours in a day. So children just makes time stretch out and slow back down. And so it's been really wonderful to have children in my home. We also have my son's little brother this year. He's with us.
Okay.
So we're fostering him, which is really fun to see the two of them together. And because my son's 2.5, I'm extremely looking forward to this Christmas because he is a master Play-Doh, cookie-cut Play-Doh kiddo. And so I'm like, you're going to be great at sugar cookies. Like, we're going to have the ugliest sugar cookies, and we're going to have so much fun making them. So I'm really looking forward to doing all of the holiday things that you just don't do as an adult. You know, you just don't make time for it.
Yeah,
at least
yeah.
I don't, because I'm bad at it. I just prioritize work.
Yeah, well, no, it sounds like it's going to be a fun time. And, you know, I remember you wrote on Instagram that fostering has made you appreciate your husband, Jason, more than you ever have. What qualities have you seen being a foster parent bring out in Jason?
Jason's just the most loyal and devoted dad I've ever encountered. And that's saying a lot, because his dad is one of the most incredible men I've ever met. And my dad is an incredible dad. Like, I definitely lucked out on the dad pool as a kid. Like, my dad's absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But Jason's just so hands-on, and he's so flexible. I mean, when I shoot these movies, I'm shooting them in Canada, and so I can't take the kids with me because I don't have legal passports for them. I don't have the authority to get passports for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm gone for 3 weeks, and the peace of knowing that my husband is just a rock star that can handle 2 kids, like 2 and 7 months, like, he can handle it and thrive. Like, he is so good. Like, the house is going to stay clean. The kids are going to be happy. They're going to have so much fun, you know. I just could not appreciate him more. I mean, it's just been incredible for our marriage. And, you know, kids can either, like, make or break a marriage. You know,
mm-hmm.
people that have marriage problems, I don't recommend throwing the kids into the mix as, like, as a repair, as a Band-Aid. That's not going to help. But
yeah.
if you already have a good marriage, then I highly suggest throwing a kid in the mix if your marriage is already going well, because it just really opens up your heart to fall in love with your spouse, like, on a whole different level, you know, as mom or as dad, and it's really incredible.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, when you celebrate Christmas, especially now with the kids, I mean, well, they're young, so maybe it's not so much applied to them, but can you walk the balance between the, you know, the sacred part of the season and also the secular kind of fun part of the season?
Sure.
How do you do that?
That's a great question. You know, Jason's family did not grow up really celebrating Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really pro Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For that reason. But I am very pro Santa Claus.
Okay.
At the same time, I'm very pro Jesus, you know, and as a Christian, and I guess as anyone, I mean, I think Christian or not, you know, people can appreciate the over-commercialization of Christmas kind of makes me nauseated at this time of year. Because I do think that, you know, no matter what you believe, like, the tradition of it's better to give than receive has always been a theme of Christmas that
sure.
I really value.
Mm-hmm.
So navigating that is tricky, but, you know, one thing that both of our parents did really well and still do really well is making sure that Jesus is the reason for the season. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we read the Bible story on Christmas Eve, and I believe children can understand more than we give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And then just making it, like, you know, my kids are going to do Santa. Like, I'm very much looking forward to the mall photo of, like, both of them on Santa's lap. Like,
uh-huh.
I think that's the cutest thing. I'm so excited for it. But at the same time, my 2-year-old does not know who Santa is yet.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
I'll probably tell him about it, like, the week before Christmas, but
mm-hmm.
it's, like, a weird concept, and he's only 2.5. But it's, like, I'm not going to make Santa the central focus of Christmas, because he shouldn't be the central focus of Christmas.
Yeah.
St. Nicholas was a real man, if anybody doesn't know, you know. Nicholas was a real man.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Christian, and the reason Santa Claus became a thing, we call him Santa Claus because we'd say St. Nicholas.
Yes,
and
yes.
Yeah, and he was a Christian who went around and he would put, I believe it was money, in children's shoes in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And he would go around and give money to the poor. kind of while the kids were sleeping. That's my understanding. I could be saying that wrong, but I know that he would never want to be the focus of the season either. So I'm trying to also honor that. And then, you know, we just like, I think it's just a balance of like making sure that every year, you know, something that we did even last year when my son was, you know, a year is we go through their stuff, you know, we go through their current toys and we clean them. And if they're not using them anymore, then I sanitize and I make sure to donate them so that it doesn't become like an over, just gratuitous amount of gifts. Like, it's like, we don't go overboard with gift giving. Like, this person's going to get several really meaningful gifts, but I'm not trying to give them 100 gifts that they're not going to be interested in.
No, I think it sounds like a great idea. Yeah, no, it's a great idea, and I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and I have been talking to Jen Lilly, the multi-talented Jen Lilly, who's got so many irons in the fire. We started with her single, King of Hearts, which you can find at her website, jenlillymusic.com. You can find her Hallmark Channel movie, Mingle All the Way, on the Hallmark Channel throughout the Christmas season. And, of course, there's ProjectOrphans.org, which is the charity that she helps support through her music. And it's just great to hear you talk about, you know, just keeping Christ in the season, because it's so easy to get distracted during this time of year. So I appreciate everything you did in that regard and everything you said. And Jen, thanks so much for being on the show again and talking to us about all this wonderful stuff going on in your life.
Absolutely. I adore you guys. Hopefully we'll chat again sooner than later.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
While the media often focuses on the dark side of humanity, the Christophers believe in highlighting individuals who reflect our motto, "It's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness." By doing so, we hope to inspire others to be Christophers, or Christ-bearers, in their own lives. That's why we've prepared a news note called Stories of Modern-Day Christ-Bearers. You'll be able to read about people who've brought God's love, mercy, and truth to those around them. And maybe these stories will get you thinking about how you can do the same. To request your free copy of Stories of Modern-Day Christ-Bearers, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.